All righty. Well, I don't know how, this probably won't be very long, but I'm just going to kind of go over it. And I've been doing a lot of preaching in Galatians at the veterans home. But I'm just going to, there's some things I'm picking up. And one of them I'm just going to, if you want to call it something, Levi, you can just name it, Beware of Pretenders. And the pretenders is what caused all the problems in Galatians. Because they came in, and I'll show where they were invited in. I mean, the people invited them in because they pretended to be Christians, and then they got in there, started causing doubt, and that doubt led to a lot of other things and a lot of problems. And it's just something we can look at it in that Galatians and look at it and say, hey, we need to pay attention. This is something that we can look at and say, you know, we can be careful of. We don't have a problem, and not to discourage people from bringing, you know, even people that have been hurt by other churches, bringing them in. But it's something you got to watch them. You got to watch them and pay attention and make sure they're not coming in for the wrong purposes. Let's just go ahead and pray real quick. We'll get started. Dear Lord, we give thanks for this day you've given us. Lord, we give thanks for the folks that have come out. Lord, we do ask that you just be with the folks that are at home. Lord, we do ask that you be with Pastor as his luggage. And Lord, we ask that you just get it there to him and get it there either tonight or tomorrow so he can have his clothes and enjoy the time down there. But Lord, we do ask that you just be with tonight of the preaching. Lord, we ask that, Lord, that in the end that your name is glorified and blessed, your church is glorified, and your word is glorified, Lord. We ask these things in your name. Amen. And if you've ever gone through Galatians, the pastor's preached it, but one of those things is there was a lot of men, or not a lot, I don't know, it doesn't say, but there was men that came in, and so you can turn to Galatians, we'll start there. But these men had come in and they were invited into the church. And I mean, and in the first two chapters of Galatians is Paul having to defend his apostleship, having to defend the gospel, having to defend that what he presented to the Galatians, he didn't learn it from man. God revealed it unto him. Jesus Christ revealed it unto him. And Paul has to go back and defend all of that simply because these people let their guard down. And it ties right into even what Jason and both Clinton preached this morning, is that when you let your guard down, the devil steps in. And that's exactly, these Galatians should have read the epistle to the Ephesians because they didn't have their armor on. And Satan found the chinks and Satan made it in. So we're just, our just the core verse we're going to do is Galatians 2 and verse 4. And it says, "And that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you." Those two verses are tied together because one, when Paul found out, he didn't give them any place. And we'll find out that Titus was with him. Not only they wanted Titus to get circumcised, and the whole thing centers around circumcision. But when Paul's talking, Paul's going into this Galatian, they tried to bring him back under the bondage of the law. And Galatians is Paul trying to teach him, go back and say, no, Christ freed you from the law. Christ gave you liberty. But what I want to go through is these Judaizers pretended to be true Christians, yet their doctrine, because it claimed allegiance to Christ, was opposed. The doctrine was opposed to traditional Judaism, and because it demanded circumcision and obedience to the Mosaic law, as prerequisites for salvation, was opposed to Christianity, was opposed to the true gospel that Paul had preached to them. These Judaizers were none other than Satan's undercover agents, whether they realized it or not. They were undercover agents sent into the midst of the church to sabotage the true gospel. Christians are free from the law as a means of salvation, from its external ceremonial regulations as a way of living, and from its curse for disobedience to the law. Christ freed us from all of that. A curse that Christ bore for all believers when he died on the cross. Christ freed us from that. This freedom, however, is not a license to sin. And in fact, you can just go to Galatians 5 and verse 13. It says, "For brethren, ye have been called under liberty, only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Romans 6:18 goes through it. 1 Peter 2:16 also goes into it. Your liberty is not a freedom to sin. Your liberty is a liberty to serve Christ. That's what that liberty is for, and it frees you. When you got saved, and that's what I've been telling a lot of preaching down there at the Galatians, when they got saved, they have a freedom to serve Christ. They have a freedom to not, a freedom from that Old Testament law, which these Judaizers were trying to come in. These Judaizers came in unaware to the people that brought them into the church. They didn't force their way into the church. They didn't sneak in. They were brought in under false pretenses. And what happens? They started teaching doubt. A doubt what? That they probably didn't come in and start this right away. They probably come in and very quietly they started spreading doubt about what Paul taught them. They started spreading doubt about what that Paul was even a real apostle. Paul had to defend his apostleship. They started spreading doubt that Paul had learned this from Christ. Maybe these men knew who Paul was before he was an apostle. Maybe they knew he was an educated man that sat under Gamaliel. Maybe they knew this and they tried to use this. Oh, he's an educated man. He didn't learn this from Christ. He's coming up with this on his own. Or maybe the apostles, the original apostles, taught them. Well, Paul had to come back in and said, no, I learned this of Christ. I think it's in chapter 1. Let me see. Well, maybe I'm off my notes. I'm getting ahead of my notes. But it says that, 116, it says, "To reveal his son in me, that I might preach among the heathen." Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Well, that one there, that is when Paul got knocked off the horse on his way to Damascus. But there's another verse in here that says, verse 12, "For neither I received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Christ." Paul's having to come back and teach these Galatians and go through them all again. Why? Because they left their first love. They let their guard down, and these men came in, and no doubt they spread doubt about Paul's his apostleship. They spread doubt about what he taught them. They spread doubt that Christ had revealed this to him, that he has to go through. I didn't learn it from man. Why? Slowly they came in and spread doubt. And if you'll read in chapter 3, Paul, or chapter 4, Paul says, "I doubt you that you're believing me." He had to go say, "I'm not coming to you as an enemy." There were men or women in that church, the folks in that church, that now looked at Paul as an enemy. And Paul says, "I'm not preaching this to you as an enemy. I come to you telling you the truth. I preach the truth unto you." Folks, these are things that we just got to watch. This whole book of Galatians, when I started studying it on my own, I was realizing that this is something that I can take personally and look at and go, I need to watch. I need to be prepared. I need to understand that, hey, what happened to these people can happen to me. Why? Because, and the whole time, the whole thing is in here, is Paul is not preaching to an individual. He's preaching to the whole church, from the pastor down to everybody. Everybody failed because these men came in, and the only person Paul ever speaks to personally is when he talked about when he was rebuking Peter for what Peter's hypocrisy. That's the only time Paul mentions an individual. The rest of the time, he's preaching to the entire church. So this has to come to the entire, this can happen to an entire church. When an entire church quits watching, what happens? People come in. The devil steps in. Here they are. Paul, these are personal converts of Paul. Paul led these people to the Lord and started this church. And now he's having to come back and straighten them out because they let their guard down. Simple as that. They didn't watch for the devil who was walking about seeking to devour them. They didn't watch for that. And the devil seen an opportunity, and he sent men in there. Whether these men went in there with the intent, I don't know if they went in there with the intent of the devil, but what they were spreading was what the devil wanted. Why? To cast doubt on everything that Paul had taught them. This can happen to any church. Sure. When they quit watching. And it doesn't have to be a false doctrine coming in. It can be something slight, causing divisions, church splits. Folks, it can happen to anybody. We've seen a lot of problems with churches. Why? Because men quit doing what they were supposed to do. Men quit praying, quit reading their Bible like they were supposed to be doing, and quit praying. In Paul, even in chapter 1, Paul in verses 6 through 9, Paul gets right to the point with these. He says, I marvel that ye are, Galatians 1 and verse 6, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. When you start perverting the gospel, God has nothing good to say about you. To God, you are an enemy of righteousness. You are a child of the devil. We are not to add unto God's word or take away from it. In Acts 13, verses 6 through 10, let's just turn there. Just turn to Acts and we'll read it. Acts 13. I think that's what I'm looking for. Acts 13. Acts 13 and verse, we're going to start at 6. Acts 13 and verse 6. It says, and when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elmyris the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? The Lord has nothing good to say about those who would pervert his word. Proverbs 30 and verse 6. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 6. Proverbs 30 and verse 6, it says, add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Revelation 22:8. Revelation 22:8. It says, and I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I guess that's right. And I heard and I seen and I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. I'm not thinking, I must have got verse 19 or 18. Maybe that's what it is. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. God, those are powerful words. They may not mean much to a lot of people, but they mean much to God. And it's God has no love for those who mess with his word. And why did these people pervert the scripture? Why did these men come in and pervert what God had taught them? Acts 20. Let's just go back and we'll go to Acts 20, 28 through 30. These are all familiar passages of scripture to everyone sitting in here. But it's just something that we need to watch out for. And we don't have a problem with it, but it's something to keep in mind. Acts 20 and verse 28. It says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Maybe these Jews that came in, they may have followed Christ at one time, They may have went and they've seen the transitions from the book of Acts, maybe from the apostles, to all of that into the age of grace and to that dispensation of grace where you're saved by grace through faith, and maybe they didn't like it. But I'll guarantee you, probably they came in. Why did they want these? For their own personal reasons and for their own personal gain, they may be trying to put this church under the law. Why? Because it gave them a sense of power, maybe. I don't know. But they were wrong. They were perverts. Paul called them perverts, called them spiritual perverts. Yep. 1 Timothy 6, verses 3 through 5. 1 Timothy 6. These are just things that we need to watch out for, when, especially for new or Christians, maybe coming from another church or anything else. There's no reason why we can't be friendly with them, love them, take care of them, but they need to be watched. Why? Because these people came into this church and turned it upside down, and Paul had to come in, run them off, and straighten the church of Galatians out. 1 Timothy 6. Yeah, let me get there. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh evil, envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. We've seen that in Acts, that Paul, or that there could be even people rising out of the church that do this. Paul, or Christ said, there's going to be things that when I'm gone, even among you, there may be men that rise up and start perverting the word. Be wary, be careful. Proverbs 12 and verse 8. Proverbs 12, verse 8. And Proverbs 12, verse 8, it says, a man shall be commended according to his wisdom, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised. God has no love for those that pervert his word. Proverbs 14 and verse 2, he that walketh in uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him. The Lord despises those that pervert his word. He has no love for them. How are we as Christians supposed to live? Let's just go back a couple chapters to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. How are we supposed to live to keep this from happening? Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. In Ephesians, we're supposed to have the armor of God. It tells us all about how to put it on. Proverbs tells us how to live once we got that armor on. Folks, the people in Galatians let their armor fall. They quit following the path, the straight path. They turned to the right and to the left because they allowed somebody to come into their church and start and spread doubt. That's how it doesn't say that they spread doubt, but I'll bet you that's what it is, because Paul had to come in and defend what he taught them, defend where he learned it from, defend his apostleship, that he was an apostle, that he did what he learned not from man. Why? Somebody came in and started spreading doubt. Why? Because for their own personal reasons, they were scriptural and biblical perverts. Paul's gospel was given to him by Jesus Christ. He affirms that in Ephesians 3, verses 1 through 7, 1 Timothy 1, 11 and 12, 2 Timothy 2, 7 through 8, 1 Corinthians 1, 17 through 18, Romans 1, 1, Romans 15, 15 through 16, all of this scriptures. Paul affirms that what he learned from Christ. He didn't learn it from man. He didn't learn it from the other apostles. In fact, the chief apostle, Paul had to rebuke in Galatians. Why? For hypocrisy. Because God had revealed something to Peter. Peter knew what he was doing, And when the other Jewish leaders from the church in Jerusalem came by, what happened? Peter got scared. And he reverted and pulled away from eating with the Gentiles. And in this dissimulation, Barnabas got carried away and did the same thing. And Paul had to rebuke him for his hypocrisy and say, hey, you knew what you were doing was right. Why didn't you just tell them, the leaders from Jerusalem, that, hey, Christ revealed this unto me. Christ said it was okay for me to do this. That's what happens when we let fear in, a wrong type of fear, a fear of what other men might think. And that's what happened to Peter. And Paul had to rebuke him for that. Paul had to get after him. They gave no subjection to these men. Galatians 2, verse 5. Paul, it says, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. In fact, they tried to get Titus to be circumcised. The truth, the true gospel, as opposed to the different, verses in chapter 1, 6 through 8, and false one propagated by the Judaizers. Paul refused to submit to the Judaizers' demands of imposing the law on Christians. To have done so would have corrupted the pure truth of the gospel. And to submit to, are we supposed to submit to those? Are we to submit to those who doubt on our God? Oh, I must have misspelled that. I can't figure out what I had there. Sorry, folks. I'm reading it and it doesn't make sense. Anyway, the law, since Paul had, to submit to the law would make what Christ did of none effect. And that's what Paul gets to. And even in Romans, when Paul's, there's a lot in there on law and grace in Romans, but to submit to the law and to revert back under there would make what Christ did of none effect. It would have made it pointless to what, for him to die on the cross and to shed his blood would have been pointless, because Christ was the ultimate sacrifice. In Colossians 2, verse 8, it says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. These Judaizers came in after the tradition of men and messed this church up. In Galatians 2, verse 18, it says, for if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. That's Paul talking. In Galatians 2, at verse 18, Paul says, why would I build again the things that are destroyed? Why would I build up the law which Christ had replaced? Why would I do that? Why would that happen? It would make him a transgressor to do that. Verse 18, it says, verse 19, it says, for I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. But well, how many times has Pastor preached this? Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. And that's the whole point he was trying to get and to these Galatians. And in chapter 4, he goes over it again. In chapter 5, it starts to change towards the end. And in chapter 6, he kind of gets off and starts preaching on other things. But the simple fact of it is these Galatians let somebody come into that church, let somebody mess them up. Why? Because they weren't paying attention. They weren't on guard. And it was the whole church. And in chapter 3, he says, oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Somebody came in, spread doubt, and bewitched him, all for their own purpose. And Paul had to come back. He had to straighten them out. Folks, this can happen to anybody simply by not paying attention. You know, because if I'm counting on Shannon and Shannon's counting on my dad and dad's counting on Clinton and Clinton's counting on Jason, guess what? We're going to fall. Because somebody's going to mess up. And it's going to give place to the devil. Folks, we're to all pay attention. We're to all have that that duty to keep ourselves right, to live right, to watch and to keep on the straight and narrow path. Why? Because the devil's looking for any chance. And any chance he has, he'll step in, and it'll start with a little bit of doubt. He'll spread doubt in your mind. Maybe somebody that's been brought in, and that's what happened to these, they'll start spreading doubt, start whispering, start gossiping, start backbiting. Hey, that can't happen. It shouldn't happen amongst us, ever. And if anybody from the outside tries to start it, they need to be shut down immediately. Paul didn't give these people place for 1 hour. He shut them down. He came in and ran them off, and then had to preach at these Galatians and get them straightened out. There was people there that looked at Paul as an enemy when he came back to them, because the seed of doubt had been spread so heavily that these people didn't even look at Paul. And when Paul goes in, he talks about, when I first came here, you would have given me your eyes. You loved me so much. You would have given everything, even your eyesight, to replace mine, Paul talks about. And now you're looking at me as the enemy. What happened? Doubt. They listened to somebody come out teaching a false gospel. And folks, we just need to watch out and pray for one another. And as our church, we need to take care of it. Because if we're not taking care of ourselves, if we're not taking care of our families, folks, it can happen to us. We're nothing special. If we fail to do what we're supposed to, the church will fail. God may bring somebody else in, but the church that we know it may fail if we don't pay attention. Just got to pay attention and do what we're right. That's all I got. Amen. Yep.